Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Are you weary in your journey of the Christian life? Do you wonder where that newness and that sense of wonder went? Well, next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to study a series entitled Highway 1, How to Enjoy the Journey of the Christian Life with Jesus Christ in First Place. The Christian life is a journey, and sometimes it can be a frustrating, wearisome, and a tiresome journey. If you're weary or discouraged, then we hope today's message on Daily in the Word will bring you hope and strength. Our series is entitled Highway 1. We're studying how to enjoy the journey of the Christian life with Jesus Christ in first place. When our eyes and focus are on Him, He makes all of the difference. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program comes to you from the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. Thanks so much for being with us today for this edition of Daily in the Word. Before we get started, don't forget to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find lots of links and resources that will help you in your Christian life and in your relationship with the Lord Jesus. You'll find lots of resources that will encourage your heart and also more information about this ministry, Daily in the Word, and Dr. Paul Chappell. But now we're excited to begin this series with you. We open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. The title of today's message is GPS for Your Family. Here's Pastor Paul Chappell.
And it would be very wise for every husband here to say, God, I ask you by your Spirit and by your Bible to lead me in the new year. And it'd be very wise for every wife to say, Lord, I want to ask you to lead me in the new year through your word, through your Spirit. And I pray, Lord, through a godly husband for leadership this year. And every individual here that is not married, Lord, lead me this year, because I'm not going to get from point A to point B without your leadership and without your help. We must allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. Be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now let's notice, secondly, we must accept our biblical responsibility. God is going to lead you, no question, if you seek His leadership. But God wants each of us to accept our God-given responsibility. And so let's notice what our responsibilities are as we look into the Word of God. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, I realize that times are certainly changing in America today. We had to pass a proposition in California, Prop 8, that simply said marriage is for a man and a woman. And you know, people threw a fit about that. They're still angry about that. They're picketing about that. Right now in the courts in Northern California, there are groups trying to sue and say it's unconstitutional, and they want to have marriage for a man and a man and a woman and a woman, and they literally want to rewrite what the Word of God says. Now, let me tell you, my friends, God is not in the revising business. He is not revising His plan on the marriage issue. The Los Angeles Times, every single day this past week, was writing about this matter and just keeping the issue before everyone concerning gay and lesbian marriages. And they said that 33% of lesbian and 22% of gay marriages have adopted children. And they're raising them up in that lifestyle. And by the way, thank God for Christian families that adopt children and raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen? And I read that and I thought, how tragic. And they were arguing in court this week that how great these families are. And one woman, Helen Zia, a lesbian writer, said it was such a help to her when she married her partner because finally she was received by her family. And she said marriage in the traditional way to her is too patriarchal. In other words, she thought the idea of male leadership to be very offensive to her, and she stood adamantly against that. Now let me say, my friends, we are here this morning to see what the Bible says about marriage and about our biblical responsibility. And the last time I checked, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. God has given a very clear pattern for what a marriage is supposed to be. And in this day when people in Washington, D.C. and Sacramento are promoting things against the Word of God, it doesn't matter your race or your origin. What matters, my friend, is do you know Jesus and do you believe this Bible? Because if you believe this Bible, there's one plan for marriage, and it's between a man and it's between a woman. And God has ordained this. And God's intention is that a husband and wife would come together, led by His Spirit, to fulfill particular responsibilities. Now let's look at these responsibilities. And I know they're old-fashioned, but we are here to learn God's will and God's way today. So let's study it very briefly. First, a wife is to support her husband. The Bible speaks of this in verse 22. Submitting yourself to your own husband. Verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now, many times, this language strikes against people in today's modern concept. But I want you to see it in the context of Scripture. First, it says a wife is to submit to her husband as unto the Lord. Now, fellas, don't get a big head on this. It doesn't mean you're the Lord. It doesn't mean that, you know, we are the final authority. In fact, any man or woman, for that matter, who has authority and who is spiritual understands that all authority is under authority and that all of us are under God. And the Bible says that a husband is under the Lord, and that a wife follows her husband as unto the Lord. There have been many times in our 29 years of marriage when I have not been as right with God as I should be, or I have not made a decision that was the proper decision, and yet Terry biblically still has supported me and stood behind me in those decisions, knowing that if my way is not right, I'm going to give an account to the Lord. So she submits herself to me as unto the Lord, who is the final authority, and that is a safety net for her, and that is a comfort for her in her life, that she's really not following Paul Chapel, though she is following me in the home. She's really ultimately following the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the mark of a spiritual and godly woman. The husband is under the authority of Christ. One time, Mark Twain was out in Utah giving some lectures, and he began to have an argument with a Mormon friend on the subject of polygamy. And finally, the Mormon said to him, he said, "Look, can you find one single passage of Scripture that forbids polygamy?" And Mark Twain said, "Yes, I can. No man shall serve two masters." Now, in a lot of homes, that's how it is. And there's a lot of wimpy husbands in this world today. There's a lot of men in this world today who just are not providing spiritual leadership. There are men every Sunday who come to church because their wife really wants them to. But I say to you that God is looking for men who want to come to church and who want to lead and who aren't spiritually wimpy, but who are spiritually growing. And God says that a wife is to support her husband, Colossians 3:18. Submit yourselves unto your own husband as is fit unto the Lord. Now the church today, and I mean Christians today, have been so engulfed with worldly philosophies that many times the church has begun to establish and accept standards that are from the world and not from the Word of God. And I want you to see this and understand, ladies, this morning, that in matters of role and function, God has made a distinction between the man and the woman. There are no differences of intrinsic value or spiritual worth in this matter. God has simply established distinctions in government, in the church, and in the home. And we are not speaking this morning about value or worth. God is not saying, in fact, contrary to the God-denying positions that say that wherever Christianity has come, there's some type of repression. The fact of the matter is, where Christianity has prospered, women have always been treated better. They have been honored in society. And so it is in the Scriptures that a woman is to be honored. Joyce Rogers, the wife of Dr. Adrian Rogers, once said, "To prove submission is a wonderful concept. Jesus became the ultimate illustration of its validity. Although he was co-equal and co-eternal with the Father, he was completely submissive to the Father's will. Jesus himself said, "For I do always those things that please him." Now, we believe that Jesus Christ is 100% eternal God. We believe that Jesus Christ has all the attributes of the Godhead. And yet, Jesus Christ laid aside the prerogatives of his deity and humbly followed the will of his heavenly Father. What an example for every Christian wife who desires to be Christ-like in her everyday life. Now understand, ladies, that we're not speaking this morning about superiority and inferiority. That's not entering the equation. In fact, there are many areas. My wife's here on the fourth row this morning, and I said this in the first service too, honey. There are many areas where my wife is superior to me. Sometimes in the spiritual realms, I can think of some Bible texts where she shared with me some things that I'd never seen just that way. Some weeks when she's walking with the Lord and prayer and has a peace and an obvious anointing of God on her life, and maybe in my life I've not walked as closely, and there are certainly times when our wives are superior to us spiritually, perhaps academically. There are many course subjects where my wife has excelled my position, and so the Bible is not saying that a woman is inferior in some way. The Bible is simply saying that God is a God of order, and that God has established order for the family, and that he wants the husband to provide the spiritual leadership in that home. And so a wife surrenders to her husband as unto the Lord, and she surrenders in every biblical way. Verse 24 says, "As the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." And wives, how you ought to thank God if you have a saved husband today. And if your husband's not saved, you're doing the right thing by being faithful this morning and praying for him and giving a good model and testimony before him. The wife is to support her husband. Notice secondly, the husband is to give Christ-like love to his wife. Now the key phrase there is Christ-like love. And I want you to see what it says in verse 23. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." But notice verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Now, there are many sacrifices to be made in a good marriage, in a godly marriage, and the husband is to lead in that sacrificial manner. Even as Jesus Christ came to this earth and took upon himself the form of a servant and became obedient unto the death of the cross, there are times God says, if you're going to show love, it's going to require sacrifice. It may be that you had a golf day all planned with your buddies and your wife has a need that comes up, and you set the other things aside in order to meet that need. You set aside some of the things you would have done in order to help your wife. And there are three kinds of love mentioned in the Greek language. Some of you have studied them before. There's the word eros, which speaks of a romantic type of love. And the fact is, you cannot build a lasting marriage simply on eros. You cannot build. That's all the world pushes, all the magazines in the grocery store, all the pornography, all the rest of it. The world says, if you have this, you have it all. My friend, you can have that and not have anything. Just ask Tiger Woods. You can have a different woman every day and be unhappy. You see, the Bible's not speaking about eros here. There's another Greek word. It's the word phileo. That is a friendship kind of a love. And that's a wonderful thing to have. But there's a deeper word, and that word is the word agape. And that is the word that describes the love of Jesus Christ. It's a giving love. It's not what I can get from you. It's what can I give to you. How many of you believe Jesus loved you with an agape love? He wants to give to you salvation. He wants to give to you life, abundant and free. And this is what a husband who walks in the Spirit says. What can I give to my wife today? How can I meet her need today? What can I bring home to her from work? What can I bring to her to encourage her and to thank her for all that she's done for me? Colossians 3:19, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." Oh, it's so important. Many times a husband begins to think about his needs and how they're not met, and he becomes angry and becomes bitter and very susceptible to temptation. God says, I want you to seek how you might meet the needs of your wife and love your wife. Let me give you a few practical ways, men. First of all, we love our wives by serving our wives. We love our wives by serving our wives. There was an exhaustive study done that showed no woman ever shot her husband while he was washing the dishes. Now, I'll admit, I'm not the greatest at that, but every once in a while when I venture over by the sink and give it a whirl, my wife really does appreciate that. And every wife appreciates a helping hand. Every wife appreciates a husband with a heart to serve. John chapter 13, verse 13, Jesus said, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." Now, we do not practice foot washing here at Lancaster Baptist Church as an ordinance of the church. We have baptism and we have the Lord's table. Some churches have foot washing. How many of you are glad we don't do that on a regular basis? But you know what? Jesus was trying to teach his disciples a lesson. And he was saying, if I'm Lord and Master, if I'm the creator of this world, and I took time to wash my disciples' feet, then you ought to love and serve one another. If you think that being the head of the home makes you exempt from serving, makes you exempt from helping out, then you don't understand servant leadership. You don't understand leadership at all. Husbands, as a leader in your home, look for opportunities to serve and to be a blessing and to lift the burden. Not only by serving, but a husband can give Christ-like love by sacrificing. You see, agape love is a sacrificial love. And a lot of fellas, we get a little bit of a warped idea. We say something like this: well, look, I told her I loved her when we got married. And I bought her a dryer last month. I mean, come on. And we want brownie points for doing what every guy should do. But God says, I want you to look at Christ and what he did. Verse 25, love your wives as Christ loved the church. John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And how we thank God today for men in this room who are godly husbands, who are growing in the Spirit, doing their best for the Lord and for their family. Now, if we're going to follow the leadership of the Lord down this journey that we're taking this year, first we need to acknowledge His Holy Spirit. Spirit of the living God, lead me and help me as a husband, as a wife. Secondly, we've got to take our responsibilities seriously to be a supportive wife, to be a loving husband. Notice thirdly and finally this morning, we must acknowledge and glorify the Lord God. We need to recognize in everything we do in this life's journey, the ultimate goal is to glorify Almighty God. The reason we should desire a strong marriage is not so we can be happy. And that's how this world sort of operates. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. But it's not just about being happy. That's fine. But what this life is really all about is bringing glory to God. And in the Bible text before us this morning, God says that marriage is like the church and its relationship to Jesus Christ. And God says, I want the whole world to know how much I love my church. I want the whole world to know that I died and shed my blood for the church. And every time a Christian marriage fails, the devil laughs at that because he's able to say, see, the Christian life doesn't really work. Now, let's consider the proposed relationship this morning between a Spirit-led husband and a Spirit-led wife and Jesus Christ and His church. And understand that Bible deniers and Bible haters love it when a Christian marriage fails, because they know what the Christian marriage represents. It represents Christ's love for the church. So how can we glorify God in our marriages? Let's see three quick things as we close. First, we glorify God through purification. Through purification. Now notice what it says in verse 26. That he, Jesus, might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Now how many of you believe this morning that Jesus Christ, by His shed blood, forgives sin and removes the spots and wrinkles from our lives? Are you thankful for that? That's what His grace does. Not only does He forgive us by the shedding of His blood, but furthermore, Jesus Christ, through the washing of His word, cleanses our lives. Now, Christians are referred to as the bride of Christ. And Jesus says, I want my bride to be a clean bride. And so I've cleansed them by the shedding of my blood, and I cleanse them by the washing of my word. We've had many weddings in this auditorium, and many dozens of times I've seen brides come down that aisle, and always a beautiful, beautiful, clean white dress representing purity and holiness. And God says, that's what I want my church to be. That's why we ought not to be running around in sin all week long. He wants His bride to be pure. But listen, God says in our home He also wants purification. So even as Jesus leads the church to purity, the husband is to lead the family in holiness. He's to lead the family in Bible reading. He's to lead the family in prayer. He's to lead the family to the house of God. God says, you're going to glorify me when you have a faith that really, really works. Notice, secondly, we do this through protection. We glorify God when we protect our family. Notice, if you will, in verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now, I don't need to tell you that most men here are good at taking care of themselves. It's just a known fact. We want to make sure we look right. We want to make sure we're fed right. We want to make sure that we are taken care of when we're sick. My son has been asked so many times the last several weeks, how's your pain level on a 1 to 10? And most of the time he'd always say 7 or 8. I heard him ask that question. I don't know how many times. Now, if it had been me in the hospital bed and they were asking me, how's your pain level, it would always be 10. Every time. I'm not as brave as my son is. I mean, if I'm in any kind of pain, I want it taken care of right now. You know, just knock me out, brother. Take care of me, you know. And that's sort of how we think. Take care of me if I'm sick, if I'm hungry. Take care of me. But I want to tell you something, folks. God says to the husbands here, the way you would take care of yourself, that's how I want you to take care of your wife. I want you to make sure that she has protection and that she is taken care of. And the Bible says to give honor unto your wife as unto the weaker vessel. That does not, again, apply some inferiority. It doesn't imply that you're a lesser person. Look, you could lay down on this pulpit a roll of denim and a roll of silk. And I'll tell you which one's more valuable. The silk is more valuable. And so it is with a wife, valuable. God says, I want you to take care of her. I want you to honor her and protect her. And then finally, God wants us to provide for our wives. Notice in verse 29, it says in the Word of God, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Now, when we purify, protect, and provide for one another, we are bringing honor and glory to God. People say, look at that couple, how they love one another. Their faith has made a difference. What a picture of Christ and His love for the church. Now I wonder, are you acknowledging the leadership of the Holy Spirit as a family? Are you today accepting your biblical responsibility as a spiritual husband or a spiritual wife? Are you glorifying God by providing and protecting and purifying one for another? And I wonder, who's guiding you on life's journey today? Who do you follow? Do you follow the LA Times? Do you follow HBO? Who is influencing you about relationships? Who is leading you in your home? And I challenge you this morning to be led by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God in the new year. And if you're here right now and you say, well, I don't know where that all starts. I mean, I don't know how to get on the road. Well, let me just remind you of what Jesus said. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, okay? You're here in body. That means you've been born. You have a spiritual birthday. And that's step one. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Have you been born again? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know that you will spend eternity with Him? Because if you're saved, then you can follow His Spirit. If you're not yet saved, a lot of this isn't making sense yet. You don't know how to follow Him yet. But if you will receive Christ as your Savior, then His Spirit can begin to guide you in your everyday family life. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the Holy Spirit's leadership and presence in our lives. We pray for families all over this room right now, for wives and for husbands, that you would bring about changes today. We pray that you would help those considering marriage to get the right foundation, those single adults to honor and glorify you, be led of your Spirit. May we apply these truths to our hearts today, I pray.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We've been studying a series entitled Highway 1. We're discovering how to make the journey of life with Jesus. Friend, if you don't know that Jesus is in your heart and life as your personal Savior, the most important decision you could ever make is to place your trust in Him, to simply call upon Him and ask Him to come into your life and be your one and only Savior. It's an act of trust. It's an act of placing all of your faith in Him alone for salvation, for eternal life. In that moment, He answers that prayer. He comes into your life, and that relationship begins, and the journey with Him through life begins, and nothing could be more important. If you have questions about that decision, we would love to talk with you more if you'll call us. I'll give you a number in just a few moments, but we would love to talk with you and help you trust Christ as your Savior. Friend, I want to remind you, you can find out more about this program at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. One of the most exciting resources on that website is simply entitled The Rooted in Christ Daily Devotional. If you'd like to read through your Bible in a year and also have a daily proverb and a daily devotional thought with a rooted principle, this is a free subscription. You simply need to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Click on the Rooted in Christ Daily Devotional. If you submit your email address every day in your email box, you'll receive an Old and New Testament scripture reading, a proverb, and a word of encouragement from Dr. Chappell. It's all complimentary. It's our gift to you, and you can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Don't forget, there's a Daily in the Word podcast as well. You can subscribe for free, download the program, take it with you on your phone or iPad or iPod, and listen to it at your convenience. Why don't you refer a friend today to dailyintheword.org? It's a treasury of resources for spiritual growth. And visit us online again, dailyintheword.org, or if we can be a help to you, simply give us a call toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.